If you have a Bible or a device, turn to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to get there in just a minute. When you look around at our society, our culture, we hear the words that we are now living in a post-Christian environment, a post-Christian world, where Christianity is no longer considered the main view of which people see the world. It's considered old-fashioned. It's considered out of touch. It's even made fun of by what's called the woke elites. It's a world where Christianity is no longer the dominant worldview or how people see the world. It's been replaced by alternative things like secularism, nationalism, environmentalism, paganism, and organized and even sometimes aggressive atheism. And so the arguments that they use about Christianity, and if you see anything, I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at this, but it's prevalent. We see people use the words that Christianity is violent. Religion is violent. And you know, when you look at it, most of the wars fought over the past decades, the past centuries, have been started because of some religion. And so those who look at that and say, well, Christianity is the start of it all. They look and suppose that Christianity is a faith of corruption, superstition, polytheism. So what is that? Multiple gods. There are those who say we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's one God in three distinct persons. It's homophobia. They consider it bigotry, pontification, abuses of women's rights, and secularism. When we look at that, what is a believer supposed to do? In fact, most of the society is endeavoring to make people feel embarrassed and ashamed to be considered Christian, to call themselves Christians. And so Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. So one that feels ashamed would be someone that cowers back, that pales, that is disappointed, feels embarrassed or disgraced, feeling ashamed, disturbed, or uncomfortable because they're made to feel like they've done something wrong, or they're silly, or they're incapable of handling life on their own. We have to recognize that without the power of God, the gospel is simply a dead letter. The Bible is simply a dead book. But we recognize that it is the revelation of the power, the arm of God. So what are we as believers supposed to do in light of that society in which we live? The thing that we have to do is that we have to come to a place where we're going to live out our faith regardless of what others do. We're going to have to fix our eyes on God and on His Word regardless of what other people say. We're going to have to deepen our understanding of God's Word, grow in illumination and revelation of the Word. We're going to have to resist the status quo, resist the worldview of the culture around us. We're going to have to resist that and not allow it to affect the way we see our world. Intentionally, we're going to have to pursue community, pursue connection with other believers. It is a very difficult season for us to be isolated, for us to be, quote, lone rangers. We are going to have to connect to a group of believers who can support us, who can help us, and we in turn can help and support them, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In short, we have to come to a place where we refuse to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to give you a few things that those who are not ashamed will actually be doing or experiencing in their life. In other words, what is that supposed to look like? What is someone who's not ashamed supposed to look like? It doesn't mean that you get a soapbox and you go on the corner of the street and you start preaching. No, that's not necessarily what we're saying. But someone who is not ashamed of the gospel is going to be one who is going to believe the word of God above all else. He's going to place, he or she will place the word of God as final authority in their life and say, I believe God's word more than I will believe government laws and the society and the culture around me. You see, there will be some that will not believe, because if they were to say, I believe the Bible, they would have to say what they believed before was error. And some are never going to be willing to do that. To say, I was wrong by doing this. I was wrong by believing that. Now I'm believing this. See, there was a point in time in my life where I came to the place and saying, some of the things I grew up with, some of the religious thinking that I grew up with, and the religion that I grew up with was not right. It was not biblically founded. And I had to come to the place and saying, I'm turning my back on that because I'm turning towards the Word. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees were typical examples. They were, their pride spoke louder than the words of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many among you are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And so God has called us, you know, and recognize we may not have all the letters behind our name. We may not have all the money in the bank account. We may not have all the position, but those who will believe Him will say, He is more important to me than all of those other things. They will come and believe Him. Romans chapter 3 says, what if some will not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? He said, certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar. King David said in Psalm 25, verse 2, he says, oh my God, I trust in you. And then he makes this statement, don't let me be ashamed. There's the part that it's important to recognize that the enemy, Satan, will use whatever he can to keep your life from being all that God wants it to be. That he wants to bring that and make you confounded or confused and embarrassed about the Word of God, about your stand, about believing God. In Psalm 37, he says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil day, the day of adversity, or when we've got some difficult times. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. In other words, the believer is going to stand on the Word. And even when difficult times come, they'll not turn their back on it, but rather they'll stand strong in it and recognize that it's through their faith that they will see their way through this. It's kind of like the thing, don't stop when you're having difficulty. Keep moving, because it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. And you'll walk right on through it. In Psalm 119, King David says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments or all your words. In other words, if I put the Word first in my life, there might be those who will endeavor to try to make me embarrassed or make me feel ashamed or make me cower down. But if I have the Word at the forefront of my life, they will not succeed. I remember now it's been 37 years. Pastor B and I were making plans to go to Rhema Bible Training Center, and I ran into a UPS driver who just happened. He was delivering stuff to our church, our place of business. I was working for my dad, and he was bringing it in. And he said, you know, and I hadn't seen him. I graduated from high school with him back in 19. Well. The Dark Ages, 1970. And we asked him, he said, well, what are you doing these days? I said, well, you know, running a business. But I said, we just got a sale on the business and I'm going to Bible school. Going to Bible school? Whatever for? I said, well, I want to learn about the Bible. I want to help people. Well, you know, there's a opening right now in Baton Rouge. He was referring to Brother Swaggart, who at the time was going through some very difficult seasons in his life. Whether it was his fault or not, that's beside the point. But he was trying to embarrass me. He was trying to criticize Brother Swaggart. I haven't seen the guy since. I don't know where he is. I don't even know if he's still alive. But I know this, that I said, well, you know, I'm not looking at replacing anybody. I said, I'm just following the steps that God has given me. And I said, we'll do what he said to do. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. When we know God as with a personal relationship, when we know who God is, we can simply say, listen, I don't care what you say, I know my God. And I know that my God is more than enough. I know, I don't care what you've been through, I don't know what you're saying, I don't care what you're saying, I know my God. Amen. And so for those who are not ashamed, they're going to believe God. They're going to believe his word. The second thing that will happen is those who are not ashamed are going to receive. You see, in order for you to receive something from God, you've got to receive it by faith. And by faith, you cannot be ashamed of what God says in His Word. You cannot be ashamed of who you are or your relationship with Him and who He is. Amen? And so they're going to receive. I like to think they're going to receive several things. One, they're going to receive what we call salvation, which simply means I become the son or daughter of God. I have salvation. I am made whole because of Him. I'm made whole physically. I'm made whole emotionally. I'm made whole spiritually because of Him and because I'm not ashamed of who He is. In Luke chapter 7, a Pharisee invited Jesus to have lunch with him. And while he's there, there's a woman who is so touched by the ministry of Jesus. And just she bows down at his feet and she's weeping because she's been touched by the anointing, been touched by Jesus. And she's wiping her tears off of his feet with her hair. Jesus looked at the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, you know, if you knew who this lady was, you would not let her touch you. And he says, you know, those who have been forgiven little loves little. But those who have been forgiven much loves much. And so he looks at the lady. And I'm sure he did this. He just extended his hand. He picked her up. I'm reading between the lines. And he said, woman, your sins are forgiven. Well, this was blasphemy to the Pharisees. Your sins are forgiven. And then he says, your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you whole. And so understand, she believed in Jesus. She believed, and at that moment she received, listen, her actions were more powerful than any words she could have spoken. Because she believed, she received. You're familiar with the passage in Mark chapter 10. There's a man who was blind, had a coat on, sitting by the road of Jericho, on the road to Jericho. His name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, which is what it means. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And he's beginning to recognize somebody must have told him about Jesus at one time or another. And when he found out that Jesus was in his town, on his road, in front of him, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, then the disciples, the people around them, be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for a blind beggar. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Just be quiet. They said the more they tried to quiet him, the louder he got, you know. And so he kept to, I think, to the point where his shout was louder than anything else. Listen, you got to understand that the believer, the person who's not ashamed, is going to shout louder than the noise around them, louder than the pain in your body, louder than the culture around you, louder than anything around you. And the word came out and Jesus stopped. Listen, the shout of faith will stop Jesus in his tracks. Those who are not ashamed won't be afraid to shout, Jesus, I need your mercy. I need your touch. So they brought him and said, come on, Jesus is calling you. So he's standing in front of Jesus. Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, that I might regain my sight. And Jesus said, be it unto you as you have believed. And immediately his sight was restored. It says that he left his cloak down and he began to follow Jesus. Listen, those who are not ashamed, they're going to push through and receive what they need from him. In John chapter 9, verse 7, beginning of chapter 9, his disciples asked him a question. A man that was blind from birth was brought to Jesus, and his disciples asked him, he said, Jesus, why is this man blind? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, neither. But so that the glory of God might be manifest. And so recognize that sin does not, or conditions in our bodies are not necessarily due to sin. But through circumstances, we don't know if it was genetic. We don't know what the issue was. But it says Jesus stooped down, made some mud, put it in his eye. Can you imagine that? He put some mud in the guy's eyes. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went, he knew where it was. He washed and he came back. And the word said he was seeing. He was not ashamed to let Jesus put mud in his eyes. Sometimes we've got to approach Jesus, recognize we have an issue, there's a problem, there's a concern, there's something going on in our life. It may or may not have been caused by something we did or didn't do, but listen, we got to know that Jesus' mercy is always available, and he has a plan. You're familiar with the lady with the issue of blood. It's in Matthew, Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. Said she was had this issue for 12 years. And said she'd seen every physician. The physicians they saw then were not like the physicians today. And they tried all kinds of remedies to heal her. And the word said she'd spent everything she had and got no better, but only grew worse. Now, she could have just sat in her living room in her chair or her rocker, but she said she heard about Jesus, and she got out and she kept saying to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. You see, she extended her faith. She began the process of her faith by speaking, by talking. That speaking led to action. And she pressed in. Listen, it was illegal, according to the Jewish law, for her to be out in public. It was not legal for her to be out in public because she was unclean. Listen, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, you press through the religious beliefs of others. You press through those things that have plagued your mind. You press through the strength or the lack of strength in your body. Something about dedicating and deciding to move forward. God supplied her with some supernatural strength and energy to press in and to press through. And she received her healing. Those who are not ashamed will receive, and I like to think about it as deliverance. Remember there was a lady in Mark chapter 15. She was a Syrophoenician. She was from Phoenicia. She was not a Jew. She was not of Hebrew descent. And she came to Jesus and approached Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter is seriously vexed with a demon. Would you come and cast her out? And as the disciples kept trying to quiet her. And then she got his attention and said something to her that, you got to recognize this was an insult. You say, Jesus insulted her? Jesus was testing her faith. He said, it's not right to give the bread of the children to the dogs. He was essentially calling her a dog. Most people would say, I am not going to take that. I'm going to put this on Facebook, and Twitter's going to know that I am not going to receive that. Jesus is a false prophet. Can you believe that? He called me a dog. But she said, yes, Lord, I'll take it. But even the dogs get the bread, the crumbs, off the children's table. So just give me a crumb. It's all I want. And so those who are not ashamed of the gospel say, God, all I need is a crumb. All I need is a little bit. I don't need it all. I just need a little bit because my faith will take it and it'll explode. And the word says that her daughter was delivered that very moment. Mark chapter, and these are stories, you can go back and read them. Mark chapter 1, chapter 5 rather. Jesus gets on the boat with his disciples and said, let us go to the other side. They're going to a place called Gadara. And in this place called Gadara, there's a cemetery not far from the place where they were landing. And in that cemetery was a demon-possessed man. So demonically possessed that he cut himself and he cried out in the nighttime. And he wore no clothes. And they tried to shackle him. They tried to chain him, but he would break the chains. He would cry out. I can imagine what this guy looked like. Probably looked like one of the Robinsons. You know, just matted all over. And when he saw Jesus, the demons were not strong enough to keep him from coming and worshiping Jesus. The possession of those demons, however many they were not strong enough, were not powerful enough. He came, now it says he worshiped him. He simply came and bowed down before him. And the demon spoke out, what have we got? What have you got to do with us? And he said, leave us alone. So Jesus, not in the habit of speaking, says, what's your name? He said, we're legion because we're many. Cast us out, send us into the pigs. Into the swine. And when he did that, the man was completely restored. It's interesting because he was set free, and they said he was cleaned up and he was clothed. More than likely, the disciples had extra clothing. They clothed him. And when the people of the town found out that all of their pigs had been destroyed, they came to see what happened. And they say, we don't want your kind here in Jesus. Please leave us. And Jesus said, okay. And he got in a boat. And the demon-possessed man said, I want to follow you. I mean, I haven't felt this good in decades. I want to follow you. And Jesus says, no. You go back to your city. And tell them what good things God has done for you. And the word says he went back to the region of Decapolis, which means there are 10 cities in his region. I believe he went and began to preach the word about what Jesus had done for him. And it was maybe a couple of decades later when a man by the name of Paul of Tarsus showed up, and the word had already been preached, And Paul began some churches right there. John chapter 8, verse 31, you're familiar with it. He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What does that mean? That simply means this: those who are not ashamed of the gospel will be set free from the hurts, the hang-ups, and the habits of life. They'll be set free from the addictions and religions. They'll be set free from the mistakes and the mishaps of life. Those who are not ashamed will receive. Number three, those who are not ashamed will begin to proclaim, will begin to speak out. Let their voice heard. John chapter 4, there was a lady who came to a well. It said at noon, because her reputation was not the best. Her reputation was, Jesus approached her and said, "Give me something to drink." And she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for something to drink?" And he said, "If you knew who it was, who was asking you, you would ask him for something to drink." And he says, "Why don't you go get your husband?" And she says, "I don't have a husband." He said, "Yeah, you're right. You had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." She was the lady of ill repute in the city. She was the lady that everybody said, "Don't let her talk to your husband because she's after him." She's the lady that all the other ladies would walk on the other side of the street when she came by. She was the lady that everybody pointed the finger at. She's the hussy of the town. But she went to the community and she said, "Let me tell you, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" You see, at that moment, Jesus had spoke something into her. She wasn't ashamed to bring people to Jesus. And when they came, they heard, and he preached to them. And he said, "Now we believe, not because you said, but because we've heard him ourselves." Praise you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus said, "Go into all the world, proclaim the good news, and make disciples." Folks, we don't have to go across the country. We don't have to go into foreign countries. There's a mission field in Bro Bridge. There's a mission field in Cecilia. There's a mission field in your neighborhood. There's a mission field in Arneville. And so you have to recognize that you can be proclaiming the good news right where you are. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, Peter and his disciples had just been released from prison, and he said, "Grant your servants with all boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." In Acts chapter 8, it says they went about preaching the word, speaking the word, speaking what God had done for them. Amen. And so it's important to recognize that we can proclaim what Jesus has done. Doesn't mean you have to be an orator. Doesn't mean you have to be someone who can put together a 3-point, 5-point, 6-point message. It just means that you're willing to say what Jesus, or how Jesus has changed your life and what he has done for you. And so it's a matter of just being led. It doesn't mean that you go talk to everybody that you see. But if you'll be listening, people will say something that'll open the door. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I know what you're experiencing. I know how you feel. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you what my words, what the word says about my situation and what God has done for me. And so it's not a preaching. I like what I think it's Dodi Osteen said this. Not everybody's called to be a preacher, but everybody's called to be a reacher. Reach to someone next to you. King David went about saying, Psalm 119, he says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Psalm 71 says, my mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and thy salvation all day long. And so it's a matter of just being ready, being led by the Spirit of God to open up our mouth and say. Now watch this. The last thing is simply this. Those who are not ashamed will demonstrate the gospel, will demonstrate the goodness of God in their life. What is demonstrate? That means to put something on, to show something. What is that? The word says to let our light shine so that others can see. You know, the Bible in Isaiah says that the at the end times, the world will get darker and darker and darker. And we see in that. But the darker things are, the brighter even a single light will be. Do you know that in the darkest of dark nights, when things are the darkest, that you can actually see a candlelight 10 miles away. It may not be very bright from 10 miles away, but it's there. You see, God says, I put a light in you. And that we can let that light shine. How do we do that? He says that we're witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, other parts of the earth. In Acts chapter 5, it says the healing at the hands of the apostles. Mark 16 says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Listen, I believe that there's coming a point in time in our lives that God is saying, I'm going to put some people in front of you. I'm going to bring them across your path. And would you speak up? Would you say, can I pray with you? Sometimes I do that in Walmart. They didn't come for Walmart to get healed. They came to Walmart for something. But there's sometimes, you know, you get to chatting with someone, say they're telling you what they're going through. Do you mind if I pray with you? I haven't a person yet say, well, I don't believe in prayer. No, don't pray for me. I haven't a person yet say that. And it's so, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it don't have to be like a friend of mine. You know, we went to breakfast one morning, and he was a pastor. He's in heaven today. Well, we were having breakfast, and I said, Brother Gates, would you bless the food? I sure will. He pushed back from the table. Lord God, I thank you for this food. We put you first in our life. I thank you that it's blessed and you nourish us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that I have salvation, that everyone who would confess Jesus would have salvation. And I'm sinking. He wasn't ashamed to pray over his food. And I thought, that's not exactly what I had in mind. But you know, when you're at a restaurant and they bring your food, if you're with your wife and you hold hands and say, Father, we thank you for this food. You're blessing the food. What is it? It's a light right there. Somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. And it's simply being what God has called us to be in front of other folks. Amen. Sometimes we can lay hands on people. We can pray for people. We can help them through the issues. I like the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. He said, but the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Another translation said, shall do exploits, do some great things, know their God and take action. Know their God, know who He is, know the Word, and display a quality that is not normal in this society. So what are we saying? Those that would not ashamed, they're going to live different than the world. We're not going to live like the world. We're not going to try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven or the kingdom of heaven. But rather, we will live our lives different than the world lives their life. We will do things that are right in God's eyes. I believe those that are not ashamed of the gospel will make a difference in their world. They'll make a difference by reaching out and doing some things. You know, there's some things I get involved in a lot of the community of Carencro. That's where I'm from. I get involved with the business leaders. I get involved with different organizations. And I'm not there to preach. I'm not there to do anything but to say I'm here to help. But they always ask me to open up in prayer. In fact, I'm not pinpointing me. It's just the fact that I'm available. I dedicated the new fire station in Carencro. Every time there's some event, they call me, Pastor Carl, could you come and open it up in prayer? Carencro is trying to do a festival like the Crawfish Festival, but they calling it Beats, Brunch and Beats in the Streets. Family oriented, no alcohol. And they said, Pastor, could you come open it up in prayer? How do you open up a festival in prayer? Well, God showed me how to do it. And so what are we doing? We're trying to make a difference in the world in which we live. Amen. And I believe that we can make a declaration. And this morning, we're just going to make some declarations about who we are and what we have. I want you to stand with me, please. If we are not ashamed, we'll begin to receive. We'll continue to believe. We'll proclaim. And we'll be a demonstration of God's love. Say this with me. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I choose to believe what the Bible says. I choose to receive what the Bible says is mine. I choose to proclaim what God has done for me. And I will choose to let my light shine as a demonstration of His love for me in my world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.